Want to continue on this one. Last week we spent some time at Malachi. In Malachi chapter 3, verse 8, God asked a question to the people of Israel. And he said, will a man rob God? Now that's the question we ask ourselves, would a man rob God? You know, and of course, not a man couldn't rob God, but God said, you've robbed me. And wherein have we robbed you? They had robbed God. First of all, let me back up one. He said, you've left me. He said, would you come back? That's what God says to everybody that's left him. Everybody that's drifted away. I grew up thinking God, you know, I don't know why. I grew up poor. Grew up under a spirit of poverty, actually. And so I pictured God. I didn't picture him with a ball bat. I guess I figured he couldn't afford a ball bat. I pictured him with a 2x4. And every time I went to mess up, God would take that 2x4 and whack me in the back of the head with that 2x4. That was just my impression of God. I had to get to become an adult and start studying God on my own before I come to the realization that God was the God of love and that he loved me. No matter how I behaved, no matter how far I might get away from him, his question was always, will you come back? I want you to come back. You know, we have one of the we list them as minor prophets. When we get to heaven, I think they're going to have issue with us. They said, you know, there's no such thing as a minor prophet. But he married a woman who was a prostitute, and several different times she left him and went back into prostitution. And every time God said, take her back, take her back. And he told me, he said, this is a type of people leaving me. And he said, but I'm still standing there with open arms. He said, would you come back? Would you come back? So that's what he's asking in Malachi, but he's asking in reference to money. He said, will you come back to me? And I said, well, where have we left you? And he said, will a man rob God? Would you have the audacity to rob God? And he said, but you've robbed me. How have we robbed you? How have we robbed you? Well, you're God. We're just simple people. How have we robbed you? He said, you robbed me in the area of tithes and offerings. Now, again, this is trying today. I want to try to tie everything together, okay? Now, I know I don't have a whole lot of time to do it. So he said, where have we robbed you? He said, you robbed me in tithes and offerings. Tithe was a tenth. It's always a tenth. It doesn't go up to 12 or 15 or 20%. It's not like you do with the at the restaurants where they keep going up on what you're supposed to give them, the waitress. It's just a flat tenth. He said it's a tenth. He said, you've robbed me. And he tells what to do with that in there in Malachi. He said all of the tithe, he said, you bring. And that helps define the storehouse. Okay? You bring. Doesn't say send. Doesn't say mail it. You bring all the tithe. So wherever the storehouse is, it's a place that you go. Okay? It's a place that you go. So you go to the storehouse. And the storehouse is places where you draw from. First of all, you're fed there. People say, well, I'm fed off of TV. I'm fed off of this ministry and that ministry. But you don't go there. You don't go there. All right? So you bring all the tithe to the storehouse. We actually had issues with some years ago that we got into because we had always been taught and always had learned that way. Wherever I go to be fed was where we paid our tithe. We didn't mail it. We didn't send it anywhere. We took it to where we were fed. And plus, that is the place. It's a storehouse. That is a place that I go to receive. And it's a place like if I needed someone to do a funeral. I'd go to my storehouse. If I needed someone to do a wedding, I'd go to my storehouse. And people miss the conception of God's plan on the earth, and they think there's no value to his system. And so, like, if they're doing a wedding, they'll go out and then just get anybody to do the wedding. And that's not in God's system. Is it legal? Yes. It's actually, in South Carolina, anybody can do a wedding. If you want your best friend to do a wedding, it's okay. It's all right. Your best friend can do the wedding. Yeah. But that is the world system. It's not God's system. It's not God's way of doing things. And so you have to make up your mind, do I want to do this thing God's way? Do I want to take part in what God's doing, or do I not? Okay? So we participate in God's system, and we learn to do it God's way. So here we got in Malachi again. Let's back up Malachi. He said, you've robbed me. And he said, bring you all the tithe into the storehouse. But he didn't say bring all of the offerings. He said, you've robbed me in tithes and offerings, but he didn't say bring all the offerings, did he? Well, because you can send them. You can send offerings anywhere you want to. You can send offerings to TV ministers. That's fine. You can send offerings to, and you should send offerings to places that support the poor. Okay. I noticed I believe it's Anderson's Meals on Wheels can't take any more people to feed. They're feeding all that they can afford to feed right now. To me, the body of Christ needs to step up. And we need to see that they have the money to feed people that don't have food. People in America should not go hungry. And so we should step up and we should say, okay, we're going, and I would love to hear, since that word has gotten out, how much the body of Christ has stepped up to support that need, okay? And there's Meals on Wheels on actually every community and I don't know, in the South, I don't know how far out, I don't know how far north it goes or how far west it goes, but I know in the Southeast, basically every city has a Meals on Wheels where they feed, especially older people that cannot afford on fixed incomes, okay? So he says you can send an offering anywhere you want to see it. So you rob me in tithes and offerings. So you're supposed to give offerings, but he doesn't. A tithe is a designated amount, but it's undesignated what it can be used for. You should not, you cannot, according to God's system and kingdom of God, you cannot designate the tithe, because it's not yours to designate. It's God's. I'm going to show you that here in just a minute. It's God's. The tithe is God's. Offerings you can designate. You can come in and you can say, I want to give money to see the parking lot paved. Whoo, glory, that'd be a good one, wouldn't it? I want to see the parking lot paved. And you say, I believe that's going to cost X amount of dollars, so that's above my tithe, I'm going to designate that offering. That's okay. You can say, I want to pay the building off. Okay, that's about $500,000, okay? That's about $500,000. So that's all you need to do. You don't have to learn how to spell million. All you got to do is spell thousand. And I can help you with that if you need help. All right? So you just spell thousand, you know, and so we need about $500,000 just to pay the building off. Okay? $500,000. Pay it off. It'll be paid off. Yeah? You designate that. Okay, that's an offering. So, and that's not tithe. Tithe is, I give, tithe is increase, okay? It's increase. Let's say $1,000 come into me last week, but it cost me $500 to make $1,000, okay? So what's the increase? 500, so what I owe tithe on? You know, God's fair. He's honest. Now, a lot of people they give, but they don't tithe. I actually, this is the way Judy and I have worked it out, and like I said, we're not putting anybody under condemnation. This is just, it works for us, okay? We give more. We always give more. Why? To be sure that we tithe. To be sure that we cover. Because I don't want in any way for God to say, well, you robbed me. You ever look up the definition of a thief? You ever look up the definition of a liar? You know, we think it's okay to lie a little bit. You know, well, that's just a little white lie. If you look up the definition of a liar, it doesn't say anything about white lies. It doesn't say anything about how big they are. A liar is somebody who just bears false witness. That's a liar. And so are you a liar or are you not? Do you tithe or do you not? Again, there's no condemnation in Christ. I'm not preaching condemnation at all. I'm trying to give you information, okay? All right, so if I tithe, that means God got 10% of my income. I believe the tithe, if you're truly giving by faith, is, if you were to divide your income down into tenths, one tenth, two tenths, three tenths, four tenths, you know, all the way up to ten tenths. I believe, Again, this is the way I've worked it out. If you don't agree with me, that's fine. You wait to get to heaven. God will tell you you was wrong and I was right. I believe the tithe is the first tenth. I believe the first goes to God. And if I give God the first, he's going to see that the nine tenths will go much further than I could have ever done with ten tenths. Okay? So we're looking at God. God said, bring you all the tithe into the storehouse. Send offers anywhere you want to. Use offers any way you want to. But he said, you still give offers. What? That's your heart. That's your heart. Right? He told Moses, he said, take up an offering from the people, not the tithe. Take up an offering from the people. And he said, everybody that has their heart turned towards me, he said, they'll give into that offering. If they have their heart turned towards me, he said, they'll give into that offering. He was taking up money to actually build the tabernacle. Do you know people actually gave to Moses? Said, stop. Don't send anything else. Don't bring anything else. We don't need anything else. We got more than enough. Just quit. No more tithe. Hey, I mean, no more offering, excuse me. He said, those that will turn towards me, he said, you take a receiving offering, they'll give, and he said, they'll pay for the tabernacle. That's the way that actually the house of God is supposed to be built. And that's the way we have actually improved this one to the point that we have. It's from you giving free will offerings. We do not have enough in the tithe base to be able to do the things that we have done, the improvements that we've made. And that's the reason we've had to space them out. That's the reason some of them took so long, is because we wait. And when the offerings come in, and if you designate money towards a particular thing, say you come in and you say, I want to designate this money towards the parking lot. We want to pave the parking lot. And he says, I want to designate this towards the parking lot. That money is set aside, but it's not enough to actually do it, okay? It's set aside, not used for any other purposes until the full amount is there that we can do the parking lot. It's reserved. It's put in reserve, okay? So, you know, we've had people that have already been sowing towards the parking lot. You know, we've had people that they'll designate a certain amount of money. They'll say X amount parking lot. So that is reserved. It's set aside until there's enough there to actually do the work. So that's the difference in tithes and offerings. Okay, there is a difference in them. But you can give offerings any way you want to, any place you want to, any amount you want to. That's just between you and God and your heart. Amen. God said, picking through Malachi, he said, test me in this. And see if I will not open up the windows of heaven. The windows of heaven was only used in one other case in the Word of God. And it was when God opened up the windows of heaven and he flooded the earth with water. Flooded the earth with water. He said, that's how much comes to the windows of heaven. He said, I'll open up the windows of heaven. This is where, to comprehend that, it's helpful to know who you are in Christ. Because once you know who you are in Christ, you know God's going to open up the windows of heaven for me, and I'm going to get that new house. I'm going to get that new car. I'm going to get that new job. I'm going to get whatever it is. Because God is going to open up the windows of heaven for me because I'm functioning in kingdom principles. So he said, I'll open up the windows of heaven. He said, I'll pour out blessings. The word literally says, what the original text usually says, he says, if you'll test me in this, when you get there, you're going to find that I've already done it. I've already done it. It's done. All right. So now that is Malachi. So the first occasion we have of actual tithing, people say, well, tithing was under the old covenant, has nothing to do with the new covenant, and has nothing to do with us, so we don't have to tithe. Well, they're right on one thing of that whole statement, is they don't have to tithe. You don't have to. You don't have to make tithing to appear to be false, appear to be something that's not there, to not tithe. If you don't want to tithe, just don't tithe. Keep your money. It's okay. You can still make heaven your home, okay? It's not like I'm going to go to hell if I don't tithe. That's not true. Not true at all. But if you want to step over into kingdom principle, God said, I'll show you how to get wealth. You realize God said that? He said, I'll show. Why did he say, I'll show? I want you to get wealth. He said, so that I might show my covenant on the earth. He said, I want to reveal my covenant. And I said, but in revealing my covenant, he said, I'll show you how to get wealth. He actually told the children of Israel, as they were coming out of bondage, he said, if you'll just obey me and walk upright in my sight, he said, there will not be any poor amongst you. He said, there won't be a poor person there if you'll just walk upright. But he said, but the poor you'll always have amongst you. Why? Because he knew people weren't going to walk upright in his sight. They weren't going to walk upright before him, okay? So, in the first occasion, it's actually way before the law, 400 years before the law, we have Abraham, actually he's tithing to Melchizedek. And he goes out to the battle of the kings, and God tells him to go. He'll give him the victory. He does go. He gets the victory, and he brings all the spoil back. And Eddie and I talked about it the other day, and he said somebody's arguing with him about it. He said, well, that wasn't Abraham actually tithing. He said that wasn't actually his. Who does the spoils belong to? The spoils belong to the victor, right? To the victor belong the spoils. So who did the spoils belong to? They were his. They were his to do with as he wished. Did he have to pay tithe? No, he didn't. But from his heart, he chose to. He chose to tithe. And Melchizedek actually did perform the communion service there with them before Jesus ever came and died on the cross. Before he said at the Last Supper and told everybody, he said, now you do this communion service and you do it until I return. He said, this is just an honor of me. He said, you do it. Long before Melchizedek actually performed that service there with Abraham, and he said, blessed be Abraham. He was speaking the blessing over Abraham, and he said, Abraham's blessed, and he said, God is blessed. But if you come over to Hebrews, it says the lesser is actually blessed of the greater. So we have God the Father blesses us. We could get into covenant. We could get into to the blood covenant and through how the blessings actually come in. And oh man, it just makes cold chills go down my back when I realize what God actually did when he cut a blood covenant. And people say, well, he cut it with Abraham. Well, there is an Abrahamic covenant, but that wasn't the blood covenant. The blood covenant was actually the Father God. Abraham says it was between two immutable things. Abraham was about as screwy as you could find. He gave his wife away twice, you know. And some men said, "What's wrong with that?" His mind was all messed up, and he was mutable. He was changeable. But the writer of Hebrews said God made a covenant with two immutable things. Two unchangeable things, and that those two unchangeable things was God the Father and God the Son. He cut a covenant with them. They cut a covenant together. We get in on the covenant. We're privileged to get in on it, okay? So here we have Abraham, he's covenant, and he is tithing, and Melchizedek actually said, blessed be Abraham. Genesis 14:19. Blessed be Abraham. And he blessed Abraham, saying, blessed be Abraham by God the Most High, creator of heaven and earth. And blessed be God Most High, who delivered your enemies into your hands. Then Abraham gave him a tenth of everything. So now, you've got to be able to comprehend this to be able to see how everything's going. He said that because of the blessing, Abraham was able to go out against the king. You realize that these kings had attacked cities, major cities, and conquered them? But here one man goes out and he says, you done fooled with the wrong guy. He said, you should have left my nephew alone. He said, I've come to get him, and in the process, I'm going to get everything else you took. So because of the blessing that was on Abraham, he was able to defeat his enemies. Because the blessing that resides upon you, you're able to be not mere men or mere women. You're able to be the righteousness of God in him. You're able to walk in the victory to which God has called you to. So this, then we come on to the next generation. How did Abraham know to tithe? That's the first record we have it. How did he know the tithe? Evidently, God revealed it to him. Because we know that his father didn't. His father was a worshiper of the moon and the sun, and he wasn't a God worshiper. He wasn't a God worshiper. So evidently, God revealed it to Abraham. This is how you honor me. And Abraham said, I'll do that. He's seen it. He said, I'll do that. I'll do that. All right. So he does. It doesn't actually record that Isaac paid tithe. It's not recorded. A lot of things happen that the Bible doesn't record. The Bible couldn't record everything. In fact, John said, if everything that Jesus did in 3.5 years, if everything that he did was recorded, he said the world couldn't even hold all the books. He said that's how much he did in 3.5 years. Couldn't even hold it. So how much more so could we say if God just had throughout all time recorded everything that he had done and everything that had worked according to him, the world wouldn't hold the books. So some things are just left out. So it doesn't say that Isaac actually paid tithe, but it said that Isaac sowed in famine. And a term that we looked up earlier in this study, we looked up the term fold, 100-fold, 60-fold, 30-fold. 30-fold, 60-fold, 100-fold. The word fold is used again. It's used again. And it said that Isaac received 100-fold return. Maximum return of the seed sown. And he received 100-fold. That means it's not just the crop that he got right there. It means the blessing of God was upon him. The blessing of God was upon him. Amen? So we find that Isaac, evidently he did tithe, and he taught it to Jacob. The next occasion tithing is mentioned. It's actually Genesis 28:20. Jacob vowed a vow, saying, if God will be with me and keep me in this way that I go, and give me bread to eat and raiment to put on, so that I come again to my father's house in peace, then shall the Lord be my God, and this stone which I have set for a pillar shall be God's house. And of all that thou shalt give me, I will surely give the tenth unto thee. All right, so now, Jacob lists all these things. He says, if you'll protect me, if you'll bless me, if you'll keep me and on my way, if you'll keep me in safety, if you'll see that I've got clothes to put on, if you'll see that I got water to drink, if you'll see that I got food to eat, how did Jacob know that God was capable of doing that? He got it from his father and his grandfather. He got it from them. He said, I know you're able to do this. So he said, if you'll just do this for me, he said, I'm going to honor you. Oh, I'm going to honor you with the tithe. So then we come to the law, and people want to say, well, the tithe was actually in the law. The tithe was included in the law. The law did not make the tithe holy. The tithe is actually holy. I'm going to show you that here in just a second. The tithe is holy, but the law did not make it holy. It was already holy. That's the reason Abraham could tithe, and he said, blessed be Abraham. That's the reason Jacob could come back years later, and he said, if you'll just supply my needs, if you'll do this, if you'll take care of me, and we'll walk in this relationship, and he said, I'll pay you the tithe. I'll pay you the tenth of everything. Why? Because it was holy. And when you use something that's holy for holy purposes, there's a blessing on it. When you use something that's holy for common purposes, there's a curse on it. People want to turn over and say, well, you don't have to tithe because in Galatians it says that Jesus has redeemed us from the curse of the law. Jesus has been made curse for us, for curse is written, curse is everyone hangeth on a tree. So we don't have to tithe. He did redeem us from the curse of the law, but he didn't redeem us from the curse of the tithe. You can't take something that's holy and use it for common purposes and think there's not a curse upon it. You have to take holy things and use them for holy purposes. All right. Leviticus 27:30. Thus all the tithe of the land, of the seed of the land, and of the fruit of the tree, the Lord is the Lord's, is holy to the Lord. So what's holy? The tithe. The tithe is holy unto the Lord. All right. Leviticus 27:32. And for every tenth part of the herd, whatever passes under the tenth, under the rod, the tenth one shall be holy to the Lord. So the tithe is holy to the Lord. But again, and that's in the law, but it's not the law that made it holy. It was already holy. It already was able to bring the blessing to Abraham. It was already able to bring the blessing to Jacob. It was already able to bring blessing to Isaac. It was because the tithe is holy. It's holy unto God. And they used it for holy purposes. God said, I can bless that. I can bless that. All right. 2 Chronicles 31:5. And as soon as the commandment came abroad, the children of Israel brought the abundance of the first fruits of corn, wine, oil, and honey, and all of the increase, that's important, it's the increase of the fields, and the tithe of all things brought they abundantly. It's actually referred to here as the first fruits. In other words, it's the first tenth. It's the first tenth. It said, Lord, I'm going to honor you with my first fruits. Here they are. And I said, the people brought them in. It's amazing if you studied out. There's so many in-depth studies we could go through here. If you studied out, you'll find that all of the judgments, if you go over to the judges and you see the judgments that come on the people of Israel, as long as they were walking upright before God, there was no judgments. You say, well, that's old covenant. Well, 1 Corinthians 13, Paul says that if we would judge ourselves, we wouldn't be judged. But he brought in the new covenant. He said, it's still a law. It still works today. It still functions. He said, just judge yourself. Yeah, that's all you got to do. He said, if you just judge yourself, he said, you won't be judged. That's all you got to do. Judge yourself. All we got to do is judge ourselves and we won't be judged. I don't know about you. And I've been in a place where judgments have come on me. I don't like it. I've been in a place where I've been in blessings. I like it. I like to be blessed. I like to be blessed of the Lord. Now, let's go on farther. Did tithing pass away with the new covenant? In John 4:23, and the hour cometh, and now is, when true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and in truth. For the Father seeketh such to worship Him. God is a spirit, and they that worship Him must worship Him in spirit and in truth. We come to the place that we don't give mechanically. We give from our heart. Paul said it. He said, as a man purposeth in his heart. Maybe I should rephrase that. The Holy Spirit said, speaking through Paul, as a man purposeth in his heart, so let him give. So the heart is important. We got into that in one of the sessions. The heart is totally concerned in the giving. I can give for the wrong purpose and get nothing out of it. I can pray for the wrong purpose and get nothing out of it. But if my heart's right towards God, how long does it take to get your heart right? Bam. Father, I see this. I messed up. I'm sorry, Lord. Forgive me. And he's okay. Done deal. It said 1 John 1:9 says, if I confess my sins, he's faithful and just to forgive me of my sins and to cleanse me of all unrighteousness. That means he puts me back in a state as if I had never messed up to start with. Boy, don't you wish people would do that? Don't you wish people would do that? It would just be amazing if we could learn to just forgive quickly. Do you realize how much easier we could walk in the blessing if we could just forgive quickly? Just forgive quickly and not carry things against people? Matthew 23:23. Woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites! For you tithe mint and dill and cumin. You know what that is? That's leaves. You tithe mint, dill, and cumin. Leaves. Now watch this. Watch this. He says, you tithe mint, dill, and cumin. He says, and you've neglected the weightier provisions of the law, justice, mercy, and faithfulness. He said, that's weightier. It's weightier than leaves. It's weightier than tithing. But these are the things, look at this now, talking about tithing leaves. These are the things you should have done. He didn't say it was wrong. He didn't say, oh, that's passed away, you don't have to worry about it anymore. He said, you should have tithed leaves. You should have. But you shouldn't have neglected the weightier things. You shouldn't have neglected the weightier things. Hebrews 7:5. Verily, they that are of the sons of Levi, who receive the office of the priesthood, have a commandment to take tithes of the people according to the law, that is, of their brethren that came out of the loins of Abraham. Now, this is a major change from the Old Testament to the New Testament, okay? Under the Old Testament, they took tithes. And we would get a lot more tithe if we would arm our ushers, you know, and they would be armed with guns, and they would say, okay, pay your tithe. I'd say, okay, next week I expect to see your pay stub and a check. Bless God if you don't do it. You know, there are churches around that actually do that. We know of churches. We know of one church in the area that they purge their membership roll every single week. If you didn't tithe this week, you come off the list. And to be able to get back on the list, you got to make that tithe up. I know a church in Charlotte that if they make you bring something in, like a tax return, something to show how much you get paid every week. If you didn't sow at church Sunday, somebody on Monday shows up at your house to pick up your tithe. That's the old covenant principle. That's taking. Under the New Testament, you receive. You receive the tithe. People under the New Testament, because you don't have to. It's not law. You don't have to tithe. It's between you and God. If you don't want to, it's fine. The church isn't going to look down their nose at you. I'm not going to look down your nose. In fact, I don't even know who tithes and who doesn't. I know some people give, but I don't know if they tithe. You know, and we thank God for people that are obedient to God, and they do tithe, because that way we're able to pay the bills. You know, it's nice to have the lights on today. And thank God we didn't actually need the air conditioner this morning, but if we had needed it, it'd be nice to be able to cut it on, wouldn't it? That's because people who are faithful to come in and see that the need is met. You know, they say, I want to be a part of what God's doing. We're going to have a special Sunday here shortly. We've got so many special Sundays coming up. We're having to work them all in. We're actually going to have a membership Sunday. I've had several people ask me about joining. And we don't push membership, but we do have membership, and we would love for you to be on that membership roll. And so and legally that does help us with the IRS, because the IRS would say, are you really a church? I said, Here's our role. This is the people that attend our church. You know. And so we're going to let people join that want to join. What you do, you take a pledge. You say, I pledge to support the work of God that He is doing through Faith Family Church. So that's what you're doing. We're doing God's work. Faith Family Church is doing God's work, and you're supporting His work through Faith Family Church. You can't do everything. You know, you can't support every church. You can't support every ministry. So you have to narrow down. I'm going to support through, and it's, membership says, I'm going to support through Faith Family Church. All right. So he said, in the New Testament, we do not take tithe, we receive tithe, okay? Verily, they that are of the sons of Levi who receive the office of the priesthood have a commandment to take the tithes of the people according to the law that is of their brethren, though they come out of the loins of Abraham. But he whose descent is not counted from them received tithes of Abraham. He's talking about Melchizedek. Blessed be him that had the promises. And without all contradiction, the less, who's the less? We are. That's me and you. We're the less. The less is blessed of the better. Who's the better? God. So, here we are, isn't this beautiful? We are the blessed of God. And when we get through who we are in Christ, you're going to understand a whole lot better what that means. Did you stand back and say, I'm blessed? You may be standing in the grocery line, you know, people around you say, man, you know, you get to meditating on it, you're not even thinking about what you say, man, I am blessed. People look at them, are you crazy? No, I'm not crazy, I'm blessed. I'm blessed. I'm blessed of God. Why? The lesser is blessed of the better. I'm definitely the lesser. He's definitely the better. And I'm blessed because of it. And the men that receive tithes, And here, men that receive tithes, excuse me, let me try that again. Here, men that die receive tithes. Now, this is the book of Hebrews. This is in the new covenant. It's writing to the church. It's not writing to old covenant saints. Here, men who die receive tithes under the new covenant. But he receiveth them of whom it is witnessed that he liveth. So now, I had seriously thought about just waiting to the end to receive the offering this morning, so that because sometimes these things kind of water down from week to week. When you go from this week to next week, it kind of waters down, and it's not as built up in your mind and in your heart as it is right now. So when I give, yeah, I'm giving into the ministry of Faith Family Church. I'm giving so that the pastor's wife can eat. I'm giving so that we can do all the things around the church that needs to be done. Yeah, I'm doing that. That's what I'm doing from the natural point. That's what I'm doing. But from a spiritual point, I'm worshiping. I'm worshiping. And God, I'm going to take what is holy. Those there's coming a time, Jesus said, when those that are going to worship Him must worship Him in spirit and in truth. So when I give, I'm not doing it because somebody's taking it from me. Lord, I am worshiping this morning. I'm worshiping You. Holy Spirit, I'm being obedient. Holy Spirit, You know how much I had come in last week. You didn't have to see my taxes. You didn't have to see them. You knew, even before it came, You knew what was coming unto me. And so I'm taking of the tithe of my increase, and I'm worshiping You with it. So what we're doing, we're giving to men here that die, but we're giving by faith, we're giving through the Spirit, we're giving to Him there that it is recorded that He liveth. See, so I'm honoring the Lord Jesus Christ and His finished works. I'm honoring what He has done in my behalf for me, right? So we find tithing was in existence before the law, during the law, and after the law. Yeah, the law actually went away. Jesus completed the law. We're not under the law. Nobody's under. People say, well, they're still functioning under the old covenant. I got news for you, people. There is no old covenant. They say, well, Jews, they're still functioning under the old covenant. There is no old covenant. That covenant was replaced by a new covenant. We live under a new covenant today. And that new covenant is where Jesus is Lord of Lords and King of Kings. He's above all. Every knee will bow. Every tongue confess to Jesus as Lord. And He is our Savior. Amen? We've accepted Him as our Savior. So again, Moses, Acts 35. Well, let's say, let's not go that far right now. So Jesus said, God speaking through Malachi, he said, you're robbing me. See, because what he knew, that he said, will you return to me? Come back to me. Well, because he knew that when they left with their money, they left with their heart. They left with their heart. You know, one of the first things when somebody gets angry at the church, they don't get angry at the church. They usually get angry at me. They don't like something I've done. They don't like something I've said. I don't ever intend. I mean, y'all know, how could I make anybody mad? Don't ask my wife. But God has put a blessing upon the church, and when people, like I said, when people get mad, one of the first areas that they'll still be coming to the church, but they'll hold the money back. They're not hurting me. God's going to meet my need according to His riches and glory by Christ Jesus. They're not worshiping. They've just chosen an area. They're saying, I'm not going to worship. God, I'm not going to work. Jesus, I know you're there, and I know it's recorded there that you live, and I give to here to man to die, but I'm giving by faith to you to never die, but I just choose to do this. Bless God. That's on my heart. And it's okay. You're still Mike Kevin, you're home. You're not going to miss heaven. You're not going to go to a devil's hell simply because you just refuse to, you just hold back. But God says it's an act of worship. You choose to worship me. You choose, as an act of your will, to worship me. It's a form of worship. Father, I just worship you. And you can. There was a lady that actually gave, according to what today we would just say, 2 pennies. She gave 2 pennies. And God says, Jesus said, she worshiped. She worshiped. Said, all you said, you gave bags of money, but said, you just gave out of your abundance. So she gave everything she had. You know what's amazing about that story? Jesus didn't get it and give it back to her. He said, here, let me give that back to you. Now, he said, she'll be in the blessing. She'll function in the blessing. She'll walk in the blessing. She'll walk in the blessing. Amen? Glory to God. Hallelujah. Let's all stand. Father, we thank you for the privilege of sharing your word this morning. We thank you, Father God. You're such a good God. Lord, we want to worship you with our whole beings, spirit, soul, and body. Everything we have, we want to worship you. It's just an act of our will. We choose to worship you. We refuse, Father God, to not worship you. We refuse to not put you first in everything, we do. If you're here this morning and you've never confessed Jesus as your Lord and Savior, simply raise your hand and we want to pray with you. We want to take your name before the Father God. We want to see that you escape a devil's hell and you make heaven your home. There isn't any reason for you to go home today and not know of assurance that you have been accepted. You are of the accepted. Your name is on the roll. And when you get there, they'll go down the list and I say, yep, there they are. I see them. And it would be a shame to miss that. It's a shame to escape a devil's hell and make heaven your home. Is there anyone here this morning you'd say, I need to do that? There anyone here say, well, I've done that, but I've gotten away and I need to come home. I need to get things straight. Yeah, that's what God's doing. He's saying, won't you come home? Won't you come home? Jesus died for whosoever will. So that means that anybody that's out there that wants to be born again, they can be. And then the Father just said, won't you come home? For those that have been born again, but they've gotten away, they're not where they need to be, you're not where you need to be. And he said, won't you come home? Won't you come back? Won't you come back? Come back. Come back. If you're here this morning and you've got sickness in your body, you've got symptoms of some kind or another, and you want prayer, we want to pray for you. If you just slip out of your seat right now, come to the front. We're going to pray for you.